Coming up on today's show,
I found personally that all of this training, because I have to run 60 plus miles a week to keep up this marathon routine, sometimes even more, it's very liberating because I can offer all of this up for penance.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode of the show comes out. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Plus, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Last month was the NFL draft, and late next month we will have both the NBA and NHL drafts. Everyone talks about prospects, about top young players, and the fans and the media clamor to hear what the general manager has to say, what the strategy will be. Sometimes they even chase down what the head coach thinks. The real center of it all, though, is the scouts. They're the ones going out across the miles and then bringing back what they have to say to the GM and the coach, who have to trust them and follow what they say about the masses that they've gone among and spoken to. And to an extent, the young players have to believe and listen and walk behind these scouts, too, on their way to the pros. Ask yourself who you are listening to, the decisions that you make, the strategy that you set, the plans you create. Who are you confident having lead you in those? If it's not Jesus, look in the mirror and determine what the source of your advanced scouting was that led you to where you are and why you don't think that's a winning game plan. In the New Testament, chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel says in verse 19, quote, "He said to them, 'Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is an amateur marathoner and active member of the Chicago Catholic Run Club, saying that running has become a key part of his spiritual and personal life. He has completed 5 of the 6 World Marathon Majors and is just one race away from earning the coveted 6-star medal. On the faith side, he is the president of CatechismClass.com, an online-based organization whose mission is to make the best in Catholic religious education and sacramental preparation available for those who need it. In addition, he has authored several Catholic books and has written for different Catholic publications. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Matthew Pleasey.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. You bet. There is a lot I want to get to, so let's have you start us off with where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
Yes, I was born in Kankakee, Illinois, just south of Chicago, and I am one of 2 siblings. I have 1 sister.
I'm a little confused with this. In the lead up to today, I read that, quote, "Matthew entered the Catholic Church with his family while in high school in 2004. Does that mean you're a convert to the Catholic faith? What was happening faith-wise in the Pleasey household when you were a young boy? But then also, what did lead you to entering the Catholic Church with your family while in high school?
Yeah, the short of that story is my father was a fallen away Catholic. He was raised Catholic, and his side of the family has been Catholic for as far back as we remember. He stopped practicing probably in the late 70s or so, and he married my mother, who came from a very anti-Catholic family. In fact, one of the only rules she remembers growing up from her parents was you can play with anyone in the neighborhood as long as they're not from a Catholic family. We don't allow
Whoa.
you to talk to them and you can't enter their home. So
Whoa.
that's the background she came from the Chicagoland area too, which is not super common to have that kind of animosity against Catholic, because there's a decent amount of Catholics here for sure, but that's where she grew up in. And thanks be to God, it was really after 9/11 my family started looking at, we got to get back to, some sort of a faith life. And I guess it was natural that my father, coming from a Catholic background, looked at that, and thankfully the God really led us there. And I was in high school at the time, and I was very much a driving force into that. And I was just so happy that really it was God himself who led us to the truth. And ever since then, I've had no hesitation going deeper and deeper and deeper into the faith, that it was truly the real faith established by God himself.
Wow. Well, sports-wise, as our conversation goes along, we'll talk later about the marathons that you've completed. But as a young boy, I'm guessing that maybe track and field might have been your sport, say, maybe in high school. What did things look like for you sports-wise when you were, I don't know, I'll say maybe a teenager?
Well, that's actually an interesting thing, and that's something that I tell people pretty often, that anybody can get into sports. Because in high school, I wasn't involved in sports at all. I was involved in a number of other endeavors. I was captain of the speech team, and I was focused on getting into college and working on my grades there. So I never played any sports other than just very casually with other people, very infrequently. I wasn't on any teams at all. So sometimes when people tell me now that, they can't work out, they can't get healthy, a marathon would be too much, even cycling is too much, I'm like, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Because you don't have to come from a background where you have, this great pedigree, you have a family of athletes, or you did it as a kid. You don't have to worry about it. Like, you just have to start. Like, today is the day. If you wanted to get more into sports, if you wanted to be healthy, today's the day to begin, and you don't have to worry about anything from your past setting you back.
Yeah, and if you think about some things that people don't really immediately think of as a competitive sport, I'm thinking of something like mountain climbing. There's nothing stopping you from going out and doing that, regardless of your age. Of course, it's just like you're saying with running or cycling as two really good examples. You're going to start out slowly and logically. You're not going to go and try to run a marathon the first day. And the same thing, you're not going to try to go and, scale Mount Everest your first day. But these things are all available to us, and anything that stops you is probably what's known as an excuse.
Absolutely. And the other thing too is, when you say sports, everybody, at least from my background, from where I grew up, is thinking of a team sport. They're thinking, well, I wasn't on the basketball team, I wasn't on the football team, I wasn't on the baseball team, so I wasn't in sports. And that's just simply not the case. That's why I'm a big fan of a lot of the Olympic sports. You would look at them and say, maybe you've played some of those before, and you don't associate them with sports. If it's a track and field event, maybe it's cycling, but honestly, even something like hiking, people who live in a country with areas with great hiking trails, I've also gotten into hiking at the same time. That can very much be a great physical activity for you. It can be a great time for prayer and reflection at the same time, great physical activity. It could be competitive too. So it doesn't have to be a competitive team sport to be something worth pursuing. The world of sports, I've grown to realize, is so broad and so varied. I really believe there's something for everybody in it.
Yeah, I like that. It makes me think of when actor Mark Wahlberg was a guest on my show, and I actually had to think before I committed to having him on the show. Well, what is his connection to sports? Well, number one, at the time he was promoting his movie Father Stew, in which there's a real life eventual priest, but used to be a boxer, and Mark had played a boxer in a film something like 10 years earlier, and he's on the cover of all the fitness magazines all the time. And I think you're right that people would look at fitness and go, oh, I guess that is the world of sports. Gee, I only thought of, as you said, baseball or soccer or football or whatever the case is. I'm thinking, Matthew, that when it came time for college, you weren't participating in sports, as you just said, But what was happening faith-wise? Because you had just become Catholic 3 years before you started your undergrad. Was that enough time to feel the fire burning, to know you wanted to go into serving the Lord in the ways that we heard about when I first introduced you? Or instead, were you maybe just focused on pursuing your bachelor's degree and that was about it? No sports and no faith, just academics.
So yeah, when I entered college, I entered a college up in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. I went to the University of St. Thomas, a great school, and they're also known for a number of different programs there, and one of which was their philosophy program. They have a Catholic studies program. So I did very much enter that university with the intention of furthering the faith and getting a philosophy degree. I ended up getting a philosophy minor at the end. I have a undergraduate degree in business, in accounting specifically, but I also got a philosophy degree, really founded on great Catholic philosophy, because even while I was in the university, I was always thinking about how to share the faith, what can I do about it. I was trying to be active online and, you know, online message forums, I remember the time, to spread the faith and be a good witness. So ever since I became Catholic, I felt like this was truly what our Lord said was the pearl of great price in the field. So if you found that pearl of great price, then you want others to have it too. So I've always been focused on that, and I was certainly still doing that at the university. And it was around 2010, 2011, I, you know, took over catechismclass.com. So that was at the tail end of my time in the university that I was entering, and that eventually became my full-time job leading this organization. So very much still involved in spreading the faith, not just in the academics of accounting, because I also have an accounting degree as well from that place.
So when did you finally start to feel the Holy Spirit moving in you in a way that really put you on fire for your faith? Because to be a member of the Chicago Catholic Run Club, be president of catechismclass.com, you've authored Catholic books, written for different Catholic publications, clearly there's a point where you make a decision, I want to immerse myself in my Catholic faith and be in service to the Catholic community. I'm going to be surprised if you don't have some revelation story as to when you made your yes to serving the Lord in the ways that you do.
That really stretches back to when I entered the church. There's a period of time leading up to, you know, we need to find a place, we need to, you know, get a church to go to. And then I'm like, well, what about the Catholic Church? And then just looking into it and looking into the miracles of the church and the logical reasoning and the history behind it. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. So ever since I entered the church officially by receiving the sacraments in 04, I was very much like, this is what I want to do. And then in 2005, I started writing different online articles for different places, very much an amateur, in a sense, articles and blogs at the time. And that was very much the impetus right then. And I just continued to roll with that to greater and greater endeavors over time. And really, by the grace and thanks be to God, that since then, I've written for a number of great publications. I've offered over 5 books. I've presented at different conferences around the United States. I've become a bit of a subject matter expert in some areas, especially fasting and abstinence, this lost history. I even teach this to priests at seminary.
Whoa.
Because the history that I've uncovered is simply not taught or not known. So really, all of this has happened because of that time. I was like, if this is the truth and this is real and this is the only thing that remains for all eternity and everything else is going to pass away one day, why am I going to put such an exorbitant amount of time in things that really don't matter? If I just look at it from that perspective, and the faith obviously is number one, and I try to tie really anything about the faith into my life. And I've done that with my work, you know, getting into marathon running and a number of things. Even the accounting work that I do, I try to go out of my way to help priests do their tax returns for cheaper, or religious orders too. I try to be that service. And I hope that everybody, whatever their skill set is or their background is, they try to leverage those talents in a way that furthers the body of Christ.
Well, and there's something that you said early on in that answer that I want to underscore, which was you said, once I started receiving the sacraments. And I think that's a helpful reminder to all of us that some of these sacraments that we take for granted, whether it is going up for communion at Mass or whether it is stepping into the confessional, we have to step back and recognize the great power that they have. That you said, once you started receiving those, that's really what kickstarted all this for you. So I think it's a nice little wake-up call for all of us to realize what we have available to us that maybe we're just going through the motions of or taking for granted and not appreciating to the extent that we should because of the power that you described in them.
Absolutely. I think some of my greatest achievements so far this year actually were convincing friends of mine who I know haven't been to confession in many years to go this past Lent to confession for the first time in a long time. And
Wow.
that's one of the things I'm most happy about, because that's actually a soul, being restored to the state of grace. That's something that actually matters. So I hope everybody, and I tell that all the time in my online the classes at catechismclass.com. I tell it to people in person. Whatever you can do, you should be trying to do something charitable every single day to a family member or a friend, online, in person, just one charitable act a day. And you'll find that over time, at the end of the year, you've done so much work, building up the faith. Small, incrementally, doesn't have to be huge. It can be as simple as saying, I and other friends after Mass on Sundays go out and we play blank together. That's a very small thing, but you've inserted in there that the Catholic faith is important to you and you go every Sunday. And see, that can be a charitable work.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Fascinating testimony from Matthew Pleasy, and I'm excited to hear his vision for how his Catholic faith and love of running intersect. Who knew the Chicago Catholic Run Club? Very cool. I don't know if they know about that group, but from CYO leagues to high school teams to collegiate athletics, Alliance Catholic Credit Union has long been a proud supporter of Catholic sports. As a faith-based financial institution, they have all the products and services you need to manage your money. Put your money where your faith is. Join Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Visit alliancecatholic.com and get started in minutes. That's alliancecatholic.com, federally insured by NCUA. Audience, I have the same questions you do, which is, what and when is the one race that Matthew is away from earning the coveted six-star medal? Matthew, before you reveal that, though, we have already passed the halfway point of May, the month of Mary. I should have probably said this on the first Catholic Sports Radio interview of the month 2 weeks ago on May 5, but there, clearly by the Holy Spirit, were so many interviews in the lead up to this month where seemingly guest after guest after guest had some story about their devotion to Mary. The nice thing, of course, is that you can go back and listen to those anytime. It doesn't have to be a case of, darn, I would have liked to have heard those. That's part of the reason why I always refer to this show as a great resource for people. You can come and access the episodes whenever you want and however often you want. If there's a particular interview you enjoyed so much that you want to listen to it again, you can. And of course, it's easy to share these interviews. And so recommending the show itself and/or certain episodes, specific interviews, is helpful for that new listener you're going to bring to Catholic Sports Radio. And of course, it's helpful to me knowing that you're out there enjoying my work, spreading the news, working together to help use the mix of faith and sports to help people advance in their faith walk, whatever stage that might currently be for them. This is a ministry for me, so I'll take all the help I can get. On that note, assistance in the form of financial support would be greatly appreciated too. I do go out of my way to report on the air exact dollar amounts and specific costs that I incur for operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. It is challenging for me, so it means a lot to me when a guest or a listener makes a contribution, and by all means, it helps a lot. Trusting that you might feel moved, I encourage you to utilize the Donate to CSR button on the website. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check. With your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you have heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution. Or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for you considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Matthew, as I mentioned before I started into all that, I am excited to hear your vision for how your Catholic faith and love of running intersect. Go ahead and share that with us, if you will.
Yeah, so I never really expected to get into running. And that's why I think that really athletics and sports are really for everybody, because a lot of times you don't set out to. I mean, sometimes you do. You grow up and you find a sport and you love it and you play it, but not everybody does. And people get busy in life and they fall away from sports that they had growing up. I see that. Or they just get new ones, and that's fine. I mean, these sports are great, and it's a great way to bond with others. It's a great way to get healthier, too. So for me personally, like I said earlier, I wasn't involved in sports in high school or in college, other than like around this, my senior year in college, I kind of started going to the gym maybe a little bit regularly. Really, but it was nothing really more than that. But it was actually around the time of the pandemic that everything was starting to close. And I thought, well, I'm going to get bored just sitting around all the time here doing nothing. And I was living in California then for a couple of years. And I thought, well, I should just get outside and run, because everything is closed inside. I've never really done any running. I've hardly even used the treadmill. And that's why when I hear people all the time say they're not into running, they weren't a runner, I mean, that doesn't matter. I wasn't one either. But it's so amazing to be able to get out there. And, yeah, you're not going to be super fast to start. You're not going to go super far. But after a few times, I'm like, this is nice. It's enjoyable. It's great to get fresh air. But also, one, it really frees up your mind, and studies have shown that running is really beneficial for the mind. It helps people with depression, it helps people with mental clarity, it helps people with anxiety. There's so many things about that can help you. Even Aristotle back in the day would tell people, if you're stressed or so, the antidote was to go on a long walk. So there's something to be said about cardio clearing the mind. So I found that. So that's really how I got into running, and how over time, maybe after doing it for a couple months, I thought, well, maybe one day I can run a marathon. Maybe I can aspire to that. And sure enough, I did. October of 2021, I ran the Chicago Marathon for the first time. I had moved back to Chicago at that point. And it was hard. I won't sugarcoat that. If you haven't run a marathon before, that's going to be the first time you've ever hit 26.2 miles. And I mean, after mile 18, 20, people will tell you what a real drain it is. But it's amazing that you go from that low point in the marathon to, why am I doing this? It's so hard, to that instant of crossing the finish line was the greatest sense of accomplishment and thanks I've had really since I entered the church, since receiving the sacraments. It was that much of profound. I'm so grateful that God has allowed me to do this. And I keep running these marathons because the feeling at the end is truly so enriching. And I found personally that all this training, because I have to run 60 plus miles a week to keep up this marathon routine, sometimes even more. But it's very liberating, because I can offer all of this up for penance. And that's what I tell a lot of people, too. Like, you can do all of this. And in fact, I know of people who do their runs around town praying the rosary, and they use a rosary ring so they don't have all of the beads dangling, but just on one of their fingers, and they say the rosary the entire time, and that is very much become a time for prayer for them too. Not that is their only time for prayer, but if somebody's like, well, I'm really busy, how can I do both? It's amazing how clear your mind can be and how you can insert that with thoughts of God too at the same time. So I have found running to be very enriching and spiritually edifying as a result.
Fantastic. So, and the suspense now for us, what and when is the one race that you are away from earning the coveted 6-star medal?
And that would be the Boston Marathon. I've saved the Boston Marathon for the last one. It's the most iconic one. It's the original one, and it's also the hardest one to get into. So I don't have a date or a time yet for it, but I'll be running, God willing, I'll be running Chicago again this year, and I'm hoping for an even better time, and then hopefully get into Boston next year or the following year, something along those lines. But that will be the final marathon, God willing, to get the 6-star medal. It was this year in March. I went to Tokyo, and that was my 5th star, completing the Tokyo Marathon. Last October, I did the New York City Marathon. But it's also good, too, that some of these races, if you don't qualify and you can't get in the time, and maybe it's your first marathon, so you have nothing to get in, there's great Catholic charities to support. So, for instance, for Chicago, for my first one, I ran for the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels here, which runs a soup kitchen and outreach work in some poor areas of the city. Super happy that I was able to run with them. I know people who continue to run with them every year. Even London, when I ran the London Marathon, I ran for the Catholic Children's Relief Society of the UK. So a lot of these marathons that you maybe want to get into and you don't know how because it's hard or you don't have a qualifying time, especially for the more popular ones, if somebody's interested, you should be able to find, for many of them, Boston, unfortunately, no, but most of them you should be able to find some sort of a Catholic-aligned organization to run for. And if so, then that's a great combination of combining your faith life with your desire to complete these races.
No doubt, no doubt. That's good information. Wow, interesting. Tell us about catechismclass.com. What is it? How long has it been around? Who is it for? Give us all the details.
Yes, so catechismclass.com was founded back in 2004, actually, very much at the forefront of the internet. It was founded by a priest, Father James Zadelava. He's a priest from the Diocese of Altoona, Pennsylvania. Father Zadelava actually contacted me in around 2008 when I was in the university. At the time, he found me online through some of the articles that I wrote online, and he asked me to help just write some articles for him. So I joined his team of authors. And it was around 2010, 2011. The organization had already been on EWTN and promoted this work of basically how do you reach people where they're at? And he wanted to make online basic CCD classes for children available, but on an online way so parishes can use them for families. And that was the original vision. I took over helping run the organization in 2010, 2011. And since then, we've expanded. So not only do we do online children's religious education, we do education for adults because it's the case that, one, we have adults who want to convert who can't make in-person classes, or they simply want to augment and supplement them. Or two, we have lifelong Catholics who just feel like they weren't properly catechized or they just want to keep going deeper. So we have classes for
Nice.
literally everybody like that, for adults, for children, as well as for sacraments. We are thankful to be the leader in godparent and parent baptismal preparation classes in the United States. We serve
Wow.
parishes in every single state in the country preparing godparents and parents for that. But we also do marriage prep, confirmation prep, quinceañera classes. We even have catechist training classes. We teach Catholic teachers so that way they can be more empowered to go out and serve as those in their classrooms. So Father Zadelava, he passed away in 2018. So since then, we continue his mission and his vision and continue offering these online classes that are taken for a very, very affordable price. We're not talking about, hundreds of dollars. We're talking about like $20+ for a class. So, he always wanted to make online education accessible for everybody, very affordable for everybody, and that it's totally asynchronous. Long before COVID, long before online learning was a thing, he said, you should be able to go online and access the faith from anywhere at any time because I'm trying to reach as many people as possible. And I want to save as many people as possible. And that mission resonated really well with me. That's also the mission of St. Paul. I became all things to all people to save at least some. And that's still our motto here to this day. So thankfully, just this past, several weeks ago when Easter was here, we are super thankful to God that so many people enter the church by studying through our classes or prepared for baptism for children or received their first communion. And we've had people who said they grew up Protestant and these classes convinced them that the Catholic faith was true. So there's just so much that we, thanks be to God, are able to do. So this is very much my mission right now. And the thing that I devote most of my time to is how can I continue to get more people to learn the fullness of the Catholic faith their entire life from cradle to grave? That's what catechismclass.com is about.
Fantastic, fantastic. An audience on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net. I'm going to put a link to a web page that Matthew has that there's a whole long list of links on there. And one of them, of course, will be catechismclass.com. Those who have been following Catholic Sports Radio for a while know that I am a Benedictine oblate to the St. Leo Abbey in Central Florida. Matthew, I read that you are a third order Dominican. What does that mean? What does that consist of?
Yeah, so I'm a third order Dominican. I've been one now for about a decade, actually. And we follow the rule. So obviously in religious orders, there's going to be a first order, a second order, and a third order. And first order will be priests, and second order will be nuns. And the third order is very similar to oblates, where we follow a rule of life. But otherwise, we are still very much lay people. Somebody who's a third order can become a priest, assuming there's, not another impediment, or they could become married or they continue to remain a third order Dominican while married. So it's something that, a lot of people should consider, but you're very much part of religious order. You follow that rule of life, which, at least for me, I don't find very burdensome, because a key part of the rule of life is how do you spread the faith and serve the faith? And I feel like, well, that's what I try to do all the time. And that's very much the Dominican mission of read and study and share the fruit of that contemplation with other people. So that's really what I try to do. So I feel like very much, and we say, it's not that you choose a religious order, it's that God chose you for that religious order. You simply found this. So some people feel called to the Benedictines or the Franciscans. They have their own third order. The Carmelites have their own third order. So I follow the traditional Dominican rule for the third order. And I'm a member of it, like I said, now for about 10 years, and other than saying the rosary and furthering the mission of the Dominican order, we're very much Dominican. So we have a name in the order. I've taken the name Brother John in the Dominican order. We also have the right at our death to be buried in the Dominican habit, just like a Dominican friar would. So there's some unique aspects of that, but that just goes to emphasize that we are truly Dominicans. And like I said, a Franciscan would be a Franciscan, an oblate of the Benedictines. You're very much connected and a member of the Benedictine order too.
Yep. Nicely said. Before we close, I mentioned back in the intro that you have authored several Catholic books. If I told you we're running out of time, you could only pick one to tell people about, which book would it be and why?
I would pick my book, The Definitive Guide to Catholic Fasting and Abstinence. It's, I think, my most popular one. The second edition is out now. I'm very proud of that book because I've given it to priests before who regularly tell me 95% of the contents is new to them.
Whoa.
They never knew this history. It's not taught to them. So that's something I'm most proud about, is trying to bring up this totally forgotten history. In fact, I had to go through with other experts different documents in Greek and in Latin that were really never translated into English to try to make some of this available for research and study and compilation. This is a fruit of multiple years of work of mine. So The Definitive Guide to Catholic Fasting and Abstinence, I have no doubt that you would learn a lot from it. And I'll just say what shocks most people is if you read the book, you'll realize that our Catholic forefathers would have fasted one-third of the year and abstained from meat two-thirds of the year.
Wow.
So we think about that only during Lent,
yeah.
But for them, fasting and abstinence was as key to your life as going to Mass. It was happening all the time for different reasons, and it was truly very much a foundation of our faith, and we've lost that. Even though our Lord has said some demons are driven out only by prayer and fasting, and we've forgotten that we have an obligation to fast. So that book, The Definitive Guide to Fasting and Abstinence, is one of my favorites, and if I had to pick only one, I'd recommend that one.
Fascinating. Wow, Matthew, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you in the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Audience, let's close with a player prayer. And do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, let me play well, but fairly. Let competition make me strong, but never hostile. Forbid me to rejoice in the adversity of others. See me not when I am cheered, but when I bend to help my opponent up. If I know victory, allow me to be happy. If I am denied, keep me from envy. Remind me that sports are just games. Help me to learn something that matters once the game is over. And if through athletics I set an example, let it be a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.